Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. More and more parents are hearing the news that their child has been identified with autism spectrum disorder. The 10th Annual Autism Conference is set for June 8th and 9th at Augustana University in Sioux Falls. This year's theme, Solutions for Success, Diagnosis Through Adulthood. Joining me now for the conversation, we have Dr. Karen Mahan. She's an assistant professor at Augie, Dr. Julie Ashworth, also assistant professor, and Dr. Matt Johnson, assistant professor of special education. Karen Mahan, welcome to In the Moment.
Hi.
Hi, Julie Ashworth.
Thanks for having us.
Julie Ashworth, yes, thanks for being
and
here as well.
I also want to mention that the 10th Annual Autism Walk is on Saturday at Augustana College from 9 to 11.
Wonderful. We'll get to all the details here in a minute. Matt Johnson, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Karen, do you want to start with an overview of the conference, why you're having it, what's Augie's sort of goal, and who you'd like to come?
Well, we're very excited. This year is our, as you mentioned, 10th Annual conference. And so about 11 years ago or so, I met with a gentleman here at Augustana who was in charge of continuing ed. And he was looking at growing our continuing education and saw that the workshops on autism seemed to be the best attended. And so we wanted to bring together families and professionals in a forum that would allow them to network and problem solve and learn together. And so the conference has always had a focus from the very beginning on families, from a family perspective. And so we've always tried to have presenters who are family members or someone who is on the autism spectrum themselves.
Julie, a lot has changed in 10 years about what we know about autism or autism spectrum disorder. Can you speak to that and really what's the latest in our knowledge?
Well, I can speak to that as a parent. I am also a parent of a young son. I guess he's 34 this June, so I hope that's considered young, who was diagnosed 32 years ago with that, at that time, was called PDD, Pervasive Developmental Disorder, because in the state of South Dakota and most of the country 30 years ago, autism wasn't even a known disability or a recognized disability. And so over the last 30 years, and certainly in the last decade, tremendous progress in many ways have been made as far as the diagnosis, as far as the awareness, certainly for education for children and early intervention and support for families has improved dramatically. It's still, though, very, very overwhelming and challenging when you first receive a diagnosis of a child or even a young adult with the diagnosis of autism. I've been speaking with a young mother the last 3 weeks that will be attending our conference and the walk for her first time. Her son was just diagnosed 2 months ago, and even though they're receiving information, of course, and she's able to connect with some agencies and resources, she's and her husband and family members, extended family members, are very overwhelmed and challenged. So one of the reasons why we've been communicating so much is that she heard about the conference and the walk and contacted me. And so she is, it's been very difficult for her to figure out in a short time with three young children how to get away and do this, but she's committed and coming to the conference for 2 days and the walk. And I think her major goal, of course, is to receive new resources, but it's also to be able to be with people that have the same challenges and some of the same successes, certainly, too, as she is, and really experience some networking and support in this time.
I want to bring Matt Johnson into the conversation, too. And, Matt, I'm not sure if you're the person to answer this. Just pass it off to somebody else if you're not. But okay. The diagnosis phase of this, like, what exactly constitutes diagnosis? What are we looking at? And there's a big big range here, correct?
Yeah, there is. And that can be confusing in that it is a spectrum, because you could have a person on the spectrum that you know, may display some very, can communicate well, and then you might have another person on the spectrum that is unable to communicate and may need some assistance in that. And so there can be a it can be confusing. But essentially, what you're looking at as you're looking at some social interaction challenges that the person may have. You also may look at some behaviors that might be challenging in dealing with particular situations. And you're also looking at that communication piece. Those are kind of some, basically three of the main areas that you look at, and look at deficits in some of those areas.
Matt, how early are our children being identified, and how important is early intervention?
That's the where we really focus a lot of efforts on, is that early intervention piece. Usually it's around age two. But again, it can be at 18 months, it can be at age 3, it can be at age 4, it can even be later than that. It kind of depends on when you're seeing some of these challenges. It can come from a physician, it can come from a family member. We're finding out with research, we can even start putting the pieces together at 4 months of age when we look at those toddlers, that those babies that aren't displaying eye gaze, for example.
Okay.
So we're getting better at early detection, which then results in early intervention.
How much does early intervention make a difference in the child's life then? Does it impact their development immediately, or does it just provide the information that parents need to know for a lifetime?
Well, I think both. Because I would emphasize what you use in lifetime, in that we can intervene early and we can get people involved, and those people can come in with physical therapists and speech language pathologists and occupational therapists and behavior therapists, so we can literally start working on those skills right away, but then also understand that it is a lifetime, and so having conversations with the family about the autism spectrum disorder and planning kind of for many, many years. And that's part of our conference and part of the subtitle, I guess, of our conference this year.
Sure. Karen, I want to address that notion of overwhelm. And I imagine for a mother who sort of, maybe knows that there's something that needs to be addressed or needs to be discovered, then to hear that conversation, this is a lifetime, of learning and sort of adjusting. Where do you begin to, as a parent, to sort of dig in to the information and individualize it to your own family and your own child?
Well, that's just part of it, is that it is highly, highly individualized for every single family. And so I think that networking and reaching out to others and finding some other mentor parents that have maybe been walked in your shoes already and are a little ahead of you on that learning curve, to be able to mentor and guide you. And then also to be willing and prepared to ask questions and trust in and rely on your physician, your educators, et cetera, to help you make decisions about what is the best course for your family. And then, of course, there's tons and tons of information available and out there on the web, which can be good and bad. You have to, take that with a grain of salt and then make decisions about what's best for your family. And I guess that's part of the goal of this conference, is to try to bring all of those entities, all of those service providers, all of those stakeholders together, so that we can talk about what that looks like and how it looks different for every single person.
Julie, after 30 years of raising a son, what's some of the worst advice that you got, or the things that you that you've had to delete from your mind that other people have said that is just not helpful?
Well, one of the things that is most not helpful is that people often, want to try and make you and them also feel better about any type of challenging situation that they find themselves in with a family member or friend, and they often use sympathy rather than empathy. And I remember this happened to A great deal at the beginning. I had a master's in special ed. I was working on my master's in special ed when my son was diagnosed. I had worked at a center here across the street from Augustana that was a residential home for children with really extreme autism early in my career. And so people would say to me, oh, you're so lucky because you have a special ed degree and you've done some work. And we heard that a lot. You're so lucky. And as a parent, you know, it did not feel lucky in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I wanted to respond back. So firefighters' homes should burn down and doctors should all get cancer. And, right. You know, there is no luck in this.
Right.
And then building kind of what Aunt Karen said, even to this day, I think probably if people really want to have a grasp of how challenging it is, the autism label is such an incredibly diverse and complex spectrum. So, you know, like other disabilities, they do have general things in common, like Matt was speaking about. There is, there is the difficulty with verbal communication. There's difficulty with transition and change. There's certainly emotional dysregulation, we call it, when people with autism respond differently emotionally than those of us with regular emotional control. There's lack of executive planning skills. That means, typical people can plan their schedules in advance, and they can notice if they need to change something. They can notice if they're running out of cereal at home or whatever. They can notice if they can't take a certain route to work or whatever, but that executive planning. And then just the extreme sensory issues. But the thing is, the point I'm going to make is that even within all those categories, that looks very, very different for every person. So this young mother I'm speaking with, some of those categories she's dealing with, her son and what he is demonstrating doesn't look anything like what my son demonstrated at that time or to this day. And so it takes tremendous problem solving and thinking through, I'm trying to help her teach her son to redirect things. And it looks very different than the way I redirect or why or how I redirect my son. So that's probably, as a parent and family members, no matter how much education you get and awareness and even support, it's a lonely road. And it's, it's different for every family, because each person is so unique within their diagnosis. So that's one of the biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. The positive side is that we've had this amazing journey because of our son. We have met people and had opportunities to network and to have this different trip than what we had planned originally with a neurotypical son that has just brought incredible richness to our life, incredible joy, incredible humor. We made a decision from day one we were going to choose to have humor as much as possible. And we've had an opportunity to really do, both my husband and I, some really extensive advocacy work. And so we've seen the results in our advocacy work, both at the local, state, and national level. So, it isn't a deep black hole, although it does feel like that in the beginning, especially and at different times. But it's also this galaxy of richness that autism brings to your life, too.
Hmm. I'd like to just jump in. This is Karen. I'd like to just jump in on that topic also about unhelpful information, if you would, that provided to parents.
Karen, we've got about a minute left for you to do that.
Tons and tons of parents are told that if they would only parent differently, that then it would help. And that's totally not true. Autism spectrum disorders, it is not a parenting issue at all in any shape or form. Thank you.
All right. So the 10th Annual Autism Conference is set for June 8th and 9th at Augie. This year's theme, Solutions for Success, Diagnosis Through Adulthood, The Lighting the Way Autism Walk, begins at 9 on Saturday, June 10th in the Augustana Commons Circle. Matt Johnson, very quickly, where do people start to find good resources online if they can't make the conference to start learning about autism and autism spectrum disorder?
Well, there's lots of organizations. The first comes to mind is Autism Speaks. That's a very reputable starting place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess in the amount of time we have here, start there and you can navigate
the web. They
have
a fantastic kit called the First 100 Days that just is a tremendous help for when you first receive that diagnosis.
All right. Julie Ashworth, Matt Johnson, Karen Mahan, thank you so much. That's our time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.